things didn't come together right away. I had applied for various internships and didn't get into anything because you have to go to film school. Like they like to see that you're enrolled in a film program. And I always decided I never wanted to go to film school. You know, one of my heroes is Quentin Tarantino, and he never went to film school. And I remember expressly hearing him in an interview saying that you don't need to go to film school. So I've always felt my entire life, yeah, you can just figure it out on your own. Ask yourself, can you live with yourself if you never do this in your life?
Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. We are on a big, fat, and crazy mission here that makes me wake up hungry and alive every morning. Our mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I am so happy to meet amazing people from all over the world. The most important person is you. You're listening to this right now and have made a decision to do something with your life. Thank you for trying to be the best version of yourself. Get ready for fireworks, because here we go. Before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. This week's guest is a director and a storyteller. Born and raised in Madison, Wisconsin, he has a Bachelor of Music in Composition from the University of Wisconsin and did postgraduate studies in film scoring at the University of Southern California. After a semester, he bravely dropped out to pursue an independent, self-taught track as a filmmaker. He has made a number of short films and music documentaries that have screened both nationally and internationally. And this is just the beginning. He lives in West Hollywood with his wife, actress Ina Rose Fierstad, and his cat, Fincher. His name is Peter Mackey. Welcome, Peter.
Taksumike. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here with you, and you learn some Swedish from your wife, yeah. I can hear.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
Yeah, it's a difficult language. I know my father came when he was 18 to Sweden, very young, but still learning the ropes of the Swedish language is difficult. And he knows very well Swedish now, but in writing, it could sometimes be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. Ina's mom is from the Philippines, and yeah. Well, that's a much different language over there. So she comes to Sweden, and you know, like it's fight or flight, and you have to pick up the language. So yeah. She speaks perfect Swedish now.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
When we do something we are really passionate about, we do it wholeheartedly. And when we do something wholeheartedly, it's gonna be something amazing. And I watched a couple of your short films, and I've seen that you put your heart and soul into this, and I love. People that do something with wholeheartedly, people that do something just a little bit, not all in. It's kind of sad because you never know your true potential.
I remember this girl in middle school. She called me Perfect Pete because I was such a perfectionist, and all these projects I would give 110%, and I would, you know, like I would obsess over things that most people don't even think about, like fonts, size of fonts, spacing on like papers and things like that. Or I would obsess over if I had to do a little video for class, I would really spend a lot of time on the edit and getting the music right, because I think I always knew sort of there was a bar for excellence, and I always wanted to achieve that, you know? So I think that's been really important in my life, is just always being aware that there's a certain bar for excellence. If it's in music, you know, if it's in film, or if it's in photography, you know what quality looks like. And if you can recognize this is what quality is, then striving for that is what you should do. And I continue to try to be better at everything I do.
I think that's something that we should strive for. But what I have noticed is a lot of people are afraid of doing that as well, because then you put yourself out there, right? To walk in the middle sometimes could be a little bit easier, but to really do something, it creates courage. It takes courage. Where do you get your courage from?
I think in some respects, I've had sort of this blind confidence in myself. I mean, when I look back on the music I was writing in high school, it was really bad. Yeah. And it wasn't good. And most of the stuff I ever did creatively, I feel like I almost wish it was never out there in the world. But the time that I was doing it, I was completely like just in it, you know, 110%. And I felt like I was making a difference. So I was just a natural sort of feeling like you're on the right track, you're doing something. And where I came from, at least, people don't become filmmakers, people don't become film composers or something like that. So I was doing something that nobody else was doing, you know? So I had nothing else to compare it to, locally speaking.
Yeah. And can you just walk us through that journey? You started at USC and then you said, no, I'm going to learn this myself. Or what happened?
So kind of in the pit of my stomach, I felt like when I was going to USC that it would be kind of short-lived. I already had like an aching suspicion that film music wasn't going to be my trajectory in life, so to speak. I had been starting to write screenplays at that point, and I spent the entire summer before moving out here. You know, I wrote 3 short film scripts and I directed one of them, and it was kind of a big undertaking. That's the first short film that I directed, and I had a great experience making it. I really enjoyed the sort of hands-on creative process, just working with actors, you know, being on location, filming. I really enjoyed that process. And then when I came out here, I sort of lost my enthusiasm for music a bit. So I gave it a semester, and I, you know, again, I gave it 110%. And then after that semester, I went home and I started working on the script again. And I just became obsessed with the script. And I just wasn't looking forward to getting back to LA to do music. And so I kind of just had this sort of reckoning where I was like, you know, do I really want to spend another $22,000 on tuition for a semester? Or do I want to pursue filmmaking, which is clearly what I'm really interested in doing since I'm spending all my free time doing it anyway? So my first day back at USC, I had class, and you know, there was one class in particular. It was Pro Tools, which I'm not sure if you use Pro Tools. It looks like you use GarageBand, but I used Pro Tools, and I got a D in that class, and the program director kind of took me to his office and said, you know, you're going to have to make up this class or you're not going to graduate. And I was just like, I kind of broke down in his office and I started to tear up. And he's like, what's the big deal? And I said, you know, I've been thinking a lot about it lately and I don't think I want to do this program anymore. I think I want to do directing, you know. And then I thought he would be pissed off because here's $22,000 the school's about to lose. And he was like, well, that's nothing to cry over. If that's what you want to do in life, then go do it. Like I don't want to hold you back. And he gave me permission to drop out and go do directing. And I remember that day was 1-1-1-1-1. January 11th, 2011 was the day that I dropped out of USC. And I don't know if there's any significance to that. I don't believe in numerology. But to me, that was like almost like I got to start fresh again. It was like a do-over. It was perfect because all the numbers, you know, 1-1-1, they start climbing after that. So it was kind of symbolic. And I haven't regretted my decision ever since then. Just I did exactly what I said I was going to do, and I haven't done music. And not that I love music. I listen to it. I go to concerts, but it's just not my life anymore.
One thing that I'm a little bit curious about is people that are listening to this now might be someone working in their cubicle. They're fucking tired of it.
Yeah.
And they're like, I want to create something. Hmm. I want to do something that I'm proud of, but I'm so afraid. What do you want to tell those people?
I would say, if you ask yourself, can you live with yourself if you never do this in your life? And if you have this vision of your life where you never do it and things are okay, then maybe you don't have to do it. But if you run the scenario in your head where, no, like, I have this, you know, maybe it's a novel, I have this idea, and, you know, like, I don't want to go to my grave knowing that my idea never, like, made onto the paper, then, well, that's, then you're at a crisis, because then clearly you have to do it, and you have to make it happen. And in that case, I would say, just, you know, don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to fail. Maybe it won't be a masterpiece. I think a lot of people are afraid to try because they set these huge expectations out for themselves. And they're like, I know it's going to take 2 years of my life. And I know that there's a very good chance that it's never going to get bought and I'm not going to make any money from it. But that's not why you should do something. You should do something because you have to do it, or it'll, no one will ever know that this existed. And I think for people that are creative, like, they live with these very creative ideas, and it's almost a way of expressing yourself, of you know, getting this idea out into the world. You know, I know the person I am, for instance, around you, is not necessarily the person that I put into my films. What I put into my, I would say that I put 100% of me into my films, yeah, in terms of like the ideas, the subject matter, the style of it is really like nested in my subconscious. And I don't necessarily share that part of me. That's sort of like, you know, in for Annabelle, you know, it's about this very sensitive, you know, writer, lovelorn writer, who hangs himself over a girl, and then the dog eats his suicide letter, and then the girl comes back at the end, but it's too late. Like, it's a very bizarre story, but, you know, it came out of my soul at a time where, you know, I had feelings for a girl. It was unrequited, and I think most guys can relate to that. So I think, you know, with creative ideas, they're so strong, they're so palpable, and you need to just get it out there so you can almost purge yourself of that experience. You know, for me, doing that was like kind of a cleansing ritual to get, okay, move on from this girl, in a sense.
But it's actually, it also takes a lot of courage to do that, right? Because I really enjoyed it, and it was so funny, and in a way sad, but it was amazing how you portrayed that, because I think everybody in some sense can relate to that, yeah, right?
And it's a very sensitive issue, you know, dealing with, you know, suicide.
Yeah.
So if you fuck it up, people are going to find it insulting almost. Yeah. And what do you know? And something I realized from that project is, you know, nothing should be, off the table, yeah, in terms of storytelling, because there's always going to be trends where it's like, you can't talk about this. This is the sensitive issue of the day. Yeah. You can't touch this, but maybe in 2 or 3 years you can touch it. Yeah. And I've never believed that. I've always believed that the problems that we've deal with as a society, they've always been problems. Yeah. And there's just sort of like almost like trends where, you know, you look at what's going on at the border, yeah, and it's not a new issue because other countries have dealt with similar crises, and it was dealt with 100 years ago, that sort of persecution. And so I don't believe anything should be off the table. But anyway, getting back to what you're saying, it's like, yeah, you do kind of have to be brave, because you are going to face criticism. And a lot of people said, I shouldn't do this movie because, you know, suicide is a sensitive topic. And you definitely can't do a dark comedy about suicide, because that's not a laughing matter. But, you know, it took reading a little bit of Oscar Wilde for me to realize, okay, he had done it 100 years ago. And he's, you know, he's a pretty great writer, and everybody, yeah, reads him. And it was done in Harold and Maude, which is a great 1971 movie. And the first 20 minutes are all these suicide attempts, and much more graphic, I would say, than my movie. So it almost gives you permission to go into that territory. And yeah, in that case, that's, you just have to shrug off what everyone else thinks and just do what is in your head. And luckily enough, you know, I feel like it was executed well enough. And a lot of people were like, oh, I see what you're trying to do. That is funny. That's okay. You know, I think a lot of people think suicide, very graphic and, you know, tearjerker and very intense and serious. And I wanted to specifically flip all those expectations on its head.
You know, what we're talking about here is courage. And I love that you found that strength and that courage to do this. And I want to help with doing this to give more courage to people. And I think sometimes you don't have to have a lot of courage, just a pinch of courage. Mm. It could be like just buying that domain or talking to that girl or just calling that person or whatever it is. It takes a couple of seconds of courage and then you're doing it.
I think people are afraid of rejection on all aspects of their life. They're afraid of failing at their job. They're afraid at not getting a good grade. They're afraid at getting caught for marijuana, for instance. Yeah. Or they're afraid of, like you said, getting turned down by that girl. But once you actually face rejection, you realize people move on with their life. And actually, like, it might be the biggest thing that happens to you in that day. But I guarantee you, the person that's rejecting you, it's not the biggest thing that happens in their day. You know, I've been rejected from hundreds of film festivals. And the person sending out those letters, they're sending out many of that day. It's nothing personal. And I think that's what you have to realize, is that rejection isn't necessarily something personal. Sometimes it's just, there's so many people in this world, and maybe there's somebody else. I know for a fact that I wouldn't have been with my wife if I hadn't have been rejected by just blindly asking a few girls for their numbers, you know, and getting turned down. And then, but you know, it gives you confidence to finally approach the person you're interested in, and maybe you're lucky and they talk to you. So I would just say, do it.
You have to practice as well with everything. If it's attraction or talking to someone or making a movie or whatever it is, you have to find that small little courage. Mm. And even if you get stood up or you get a no or you get rejected for that festival or your client says no to buying your product or whatever it is, it's still, you did something to try. Mm. And you should pat yourself on the back, learn what you did mistakenly, and move forward. Yeah. Don't you agree?
Yeah, for sure. And it's good to, you do build up strength. And if you evaluate yourself, well, maybe it had nothing to do with the product. Maybe it was just, maybe you seemed a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Well, the next time you do it, you're gonna know that, okay, I need to just work on my own appearance.
Yeah.
Maybe there's nothing wrong with what I'm selling.
Yeah. So one last question that I have for you, Peter, is something that I ask all my guests, and that is, if they can do one thing right now to get started on their own dreams, just like you had that day when you decide, I'm going to go after this, what would be the first step they can take right now after listening to this?
Build your website on Wix. No. I've never thought about that. That's a good question. I would say, really listen to your gut, listen to your instincts. And what does your, you know, it's a cliche, but what does your heart tell you that you should be doing with your life? And then I would just say, do it at any cost. Don't think, don't analyze, don't critique yourself, just do it. And if you fail, you fail. But who cares if you're not the best at what you do? Just do it if you love it.
I love that. Don't think too much. Just start and just do something. That's what we're all about here. Do something with your life. And don't be that person that just listen to all these podcasts, read inspiration, or look what other people do. We don't want to be spectators of everything. We want to be in it ourselves, right? We want to be there doing it. And if you're listening to this, I know you there's something that you want. So go after it. Start with a small little step right now.
Oh, and another thing. And if you do have, you know, if you have, you know, an ego or this enormous sense of pride, swallow it, because there are people that are doing what you want to do, and you can actually learn from them, and you can ask them, hey, give me some advice. What can I be doing? Because there are some people that are too prideful to actually take the necessary steps because they don't want to acknowledge that they don't know what they're doing. If you know what you're doing, acknowledge that and find someone. You can go online, but figure out, what did this person do to get where they are? And you can learn a lot.
Yeah, there's no shame in not being the best at what you do or not having all the answers. It's completely okay. And that's how you grow.
Yeah.
So such a good advice. Peter, I am so glad that you came here today on such a short notice. And I've had an incredible time with you. I learned a lot. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And I think our listeners would enjoy this a lot.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. It was really nice.
And thank you guys for listening in. If you enjoy this podcast, you know my mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to go after their dreams. And I need your help with that. So if you like this, share this with your friends, your family, subscribe, and give us 5 stars and help us spreading this mission. And also thank you to Panos Emporio that you're helping us and sponsoring us. And so we can do this and so we can share. And I think that was about it. If you don't have anything that you want to say, Peter.
Special shout out to Ina. Thanks for hooking this up.
Yeah, we had Ina Rose Farstad, your wife, on. It was about a year ago. Incredible person as well. I'm glad that you have each other to support each other in this creative journey. And I wish you all the best.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.